Okay. So we noted last time that Rashi seems to say differently than Tosfos and the Rashba, right? Whereas Tosfos and the Rashba say that poor morning you read nine psukim because salik and yana, right? Because you finish the top, that's it. That's what's relevant, and you don't go beyond. Rashi seems to say that you would go on, right? You would have to go on because you need a minimum of 10 psukim no matter what. So it looks like, at first glance, that in terms of the 10 psukim, what we have is, on the one hand, we have Rashi, and on the other hand, we have Tosva. No, that's not what I meant to do at all. On the other hand, we have, give me just a half a second. On the other hand, we have the Rashba and many other Rishonim said Rashba and Tosva. Correct? Yes?
Yeah.
L'chaora. Why? Because Rashi says that, right, you have 10 psukim, and Rashba and Tosva say you have 9. Okay? Let's see. Before we try to figure out Tosfos and Rashba, let's look at
Beria.
Beria, Beria, however you like to say it. And as we mentioned last time, the two sugya. One sugya deals with Tarovet, the fact that Beria is not Batel. And the other deals with the fact that in terms of Malkot, right, this is a sugi, first is a sugi in Chulin, second sugi in Malkot, and second that even though it's Pachot Mikazayit, right, even though it's less than Kazayit. What is Beria Bria? So there are four criteria, okay? But, as mentioned last time, the four criteria, there's really two lists of three with an overlap, with two of them that overlap, and so when you crunch it together, you come up with a list of four. But really, there are three. We're going to focus on one particular set of three, as you'll see. One of the interesting things, by the way, is that there are that Rishonim and Achronim put together these two ideas. Okay, if you saw, went ahead in the source, which hopefully you did, you saw that whereas we have these two sugyot in Makot and in Chulin, and there seem to be differences between them, Rishonim come along and say, such as Tosfot and many, many Rishonim, come along and ask, why in one sugyot there are these criteria and the other, and interesting that in the many Rishonim that discuss it, they all assume that they're talking about the same halacha, which is interesting because they're not, right? There's one's talking about Tarovet, and one's talking about Malkot. Everyone understands the two halachot? Yes, and then ostensibly they may be very different. Okay, one is that Tarovet's not Batel, Malkot. Okay, let me just illustrate, just so you'll understand exactly what this Tarovet thing is. Just al regal achat, we're not learning Yoredeya, but just very quickly. We say Beria dehainu kigon nimala. This is on the second side, right? Beria dehainu kigon nimala o of tamei v'gid anasha v'eber menachai u'beitzer sheyesh ba'afroach v'keyotze b'hem afilu be'elef lo batel. Even if it's 1,000 to 1, it's not batel. V'ein lo din Beria elim kain. There are four criteria. It has to be davar shayabo chayut lafuke chita achat shel iser. It has to have been alive. This comes from the other shita. We're going to ignore this factor for our purposes today. We're going to talk about the shita that consists of the last three. V'chein tzar shei davar sha'asur mitzchila priyato. It has to be asur mitzchilat priyato, meaning not something that became asur, but something that was always asur from its inception. Number two.
What's number two?
That v'chein tzarich
שיהי דבר שלם שמיחלק אין שמו עליו לחוקי חלב,
אוקיי? אם יחלק אין שמו עליו, for example, let's say you have dam, right? You have blood, okay?
If I have a bunch of blood, it's called dam. If I cut it in half, if I divide it, so still dam, okay? So it's less of it. Okay, it doesn't become, it doesn't have a different name. As opposed to, let's say, an ant, right? If you cut an ant in half, then now you have half an ant, right? It's not that you have an ant before, now you have a littler ant, you have half an ant. It's not the same thing anymore,
right? Okay? So that's yichalek, ein shmo alav. And number three is that it has to be shalem, it has to be whole.
Okay, it can't be half an ant. So, you know, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, although it sometimes is useful because at least you know to ask a question, but a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. One fine day, I said, there was a period in time, this goes back a long time, it's before anybody, any of you were alive, there was a period of time, I know it's because when my oldest daughter, who is already 22, my oldest daughter was a year old, Nechama, when she was a year old, my wife insisted that it was just the schlep was too long. But for a long period of time, for like 5 years, I would go out every week. Once a week, I would schlep out. It was a huge schlep. I'd schlep out to Princeton and give a shiur there in Gemara, B'Iyun. And people would prepare all week and we'd give a shiur on Sunday or Thursday. It depends on, mostly it was Sunday. And there weren't a whole lot of people to ask questions to in Princeton.
Wait.
Are familiar, but it was just like, you know, there was, you know, the religious Jews there were a few that wasn't really anyone for them to ask them to. So, you know, like I would get there a little early, stay for supper, and then give the shiur. And usually they would have like all kinds of fascinating questions that would come up that you wouldn't, you know, it's not normal questions. Like, you know, well, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't yet, well, yeah, it's not 4. Okay, the point is that there were all kinds of fascinating questions that would come up, and there were some very serious religious students there. And post yeshiva, seminary, whatever, who you know really learned very well, who were in the shiur, the small shiur, whatever, a professor or two. And one time I got there just in time, you know, like right as supper was beginning, and one of the students, one of the religious students there, came running over to me. Their dinner, which was this vegetable curry dish, and they found half a worm in it.
Ew. That's really gross.
It really is.
That's like part of a joke.
It's a true story. I don't, like I'm not creative enough to come up with these stories. I'll tell you, this is a real story. So anyhow, so they said, we found half a worm in our curry. And we know about this halacha beria, right? So we're afraid that's not batel, and that the whole thing, and it was a huge thing, you know, for like all the Jewish students in this, you know, house there where they ate. And it was like this huge thing, but we know that fuel be'elflobatil, that a berry is a fuel be'elflobatil. So I pointed out, I calmed them down and said that I don't think that's applicable, because first of all, number one, it was only half a worm. Right? And it was half the worm they had. This was only, most half a worm in there. That's number one. Number two, presumably you could see the way they knew this in the first place, because they found the half, right? So as you could, it wasn't a tarova because you could take it out. The blia and the tam, that's not beria. That's not and aside from the fact that it's actually something which is disgusting, it's actually batel and less than a regular yeast. Anyhow, there were a lot of issues involved, but beria it wasn't. Okay, beria it wasn't, and they were able to eat the curry. So Baruch Hashem Shalom, I didn't say they wanted to, some, you know, the guys want whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay. Not the point. The point is, just understand, that wasn't barrier, right? Because of principle number, really it's number 4 in the Shulchan Aruch, but initially to Rishonim, it's principle number 3. It has to be Dabar Shalem, okay? It has to be the object itself, right? That goes without saying that we're talking about the object itself. We're not talking about the time. We're not talking about the time. We're not talking about that if you cooked it together and you were able to find it and take it out, then barrier certainly doesn't apply anymore. Okay, so the Taz says something very interesting. The Taz says that the reason that's not batel, there's a halacha d'rabbanan. Okay, why? Why did Chacham say that's not batel? Because it's chashuv. Because it has chashiva to it. Why does it have chashiva to it? It has chashiva to it because After all, you get malkot on it, even though it's not a kazayit. So you see, it's chashuv. And with me so far? Right, that's the taz. The truth of the matter is that this idea is already found in the Ra'ah, on Chulin, on Tzaitet, where the Ra'ah says, Kilomar, deberia lob tela, dechihecha, dechashiva le'inyan malkot, delokin ale b'chol shehu, chashiva le'inyan isurin, below delo b'tela. I'm not trying to keep anything from you in the Ra'ah. Welcome to take out a Ra'ah on Chulin and look it up. I just didn't feel like typing out the whole thing because the Ra'ah is not in the database, and so I had to type it in myself. The usual story of why I excerpt things and cut them down to size, only because I don't feel like typing a lot. I'm not that fast to type. Okay, the point is that you have the reference. You can look it up. You'll see. This basic idea is in the Ra'ah, but the truth of the matter is implied in all these Rishonim who ask from one sugya on the other. The implication is that there's a common denominator. There's a common principle. There's a common idea behind it. Yes?
Wait, so you said it's not
batzal
because you get malkut for it?
not directly because you get malkut, but because we see that min haTorah, Beri has a special chashivut, so Chachamim said that's not batzal as well.
But then how come meat going into milk, if it's batzal
b'shishim,
is batzal, even though, don't you get a punishment for that?
Any lav would carry malkut, saying that since this has a chashivut above and beyond the normal iser, you only get malkut if it's kazayit. This you get malkut even if it's less than a kazayit. This has a special status. I'm going to suggest something. I'm going to try to deepen our understanding of this. I have a suggestion, according to at least one group of Rishonim, which I think is a very powerful suggestion, and I think it's really alluded to by the Rush, but bear with me for a few minutes. I think you'll understand it much better. Okay, but for the moment, that's what the Taz says. Right, the Ra'ah, I'm just pointing out, the Ra'ah and really Tosa and Eri imply, if not state, that these two ideas are related. What the relationship is, we're going to try to clarify. So, again, I'm going to say this very simply and quickly. And I think that if you look in the Tosfot HaRash on Chulin on Daf Kuf Bet, the Rush really points in this general direction. I want to suggest an idea. You have to follow very carefully. I'm going to try to show you how these two concepts are related, and then to say a few words about the idea of L'cha'ora. Spelled variously with an ayin or an aleph, depending on which Rishon you look at, etc. But and there are different explanations in the Aruch and the Tosafot Rid, etc. as to what exactly the Chor is, but it means basically ostensibly. In other words, it looks like A, but when you look at it more deeply, it's really B. Maybe even the opposite of A. Okay? So here we go. What's the idea behind these three criteria? What's Beri? So I want to suggest the following idea. And I really think that this is what the Rush is pachod or yoter driving at. Let's start with the following. We know that if you study any classical work of medieval Jewish philosophy, you'll come across the idea that there are properties that are innate, that are part of something or someone's identity. And then there are things we call, if I come across the Rambam, accidents, mikrim, right? Things that are not innate or part of the basic identity of the thing or the person. Something can have the property of being asur. Something can be asur, or something can be the Iser itself. There can be an identity between the Iser and the object. Okay, let me give you an illustration of what I mean. If I have a pig, a pig is by definition a non-kosher animal. Okay? It's not the same, and there are a lot of differences between a pig and a cow, which is kosher, but then I shot it. And so now, it's a trefa instead of being, shechted and it's kosher, or the animal becomes a nevela, whatever, right? So science and nevela, trefa, it's different because that's an Easter that the animal has, but it's not that thing equals the Iser. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Let me give you another example. If I have grain, right? If I have grain, and it's, you know, and well, that's a bad example. I don't want to use that example. It is a good example, but it's going to be much more complex. Let's say, like this. Let's go through the examples here. I want to argue that what barium means, basically, according to this sheet that we've shown, that pulls from these three criteria, barium simply means this. Barium means that there's an equation, there's an identity between the Isur and the thing that we're talking about. It's one and the same thing. Okay? So, for example, if I have an ant, is the Iser. If I have a Giranasha, the Giranasha is the Iser. Okay, there's an exact correlation between the thing and the Iser. You understand what I'm saying? If I want to draw a picture of the Iser, I want to, you know, give you an example of the Iser, here it is. This is the thing. But let's talk about something else. Let's say, for example, something that became Iser later in life. So you can't say that its identity is that it is the Iser. There's an Iser attached to it, but it's not the Iser. Make sense? Yes? Understand what I'm saying? Number two. She'im yechalek in shmo alav. Right? If the Iser and the thing is the same thing, then if I cut it in half, it's not going to be the Iser anymore. Right? If the Iser is nimalah, and I cut it in half, it's not going to be nimalah anymore. Right? If the Iser is, you know, the sheretz, and I can't have, it's not a sheretz anymore. It's a piece of... But let's say I have dam. Okay? So imagine for a moment... But let's pretend for a moment that I have here a bottle of dam. Okay? And it's aser. Right? It's aser. It's dam, it's aser. Right? If I were to spill out half of it, it would still be dam. Right? Therefore, you can't say that the Iser is this, right? Because if I had more or less, right? Half or five times, it would still be the same Iser, right? Understand what I'm saying? Therefore, there's not an identity between the Iser and the object. Right? It's Iser, but that's not the Iser, because how much is, there's no such thing as a dam, right? There's dam, there's a substance of dam, but there's not an object of dam. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Am I being too esoteric?
Isn't that one like, I feel like it's like the opposite almost. Like if you can't, if the measurement or the amount doesn't matter, that's even more like the identity is.
When the Torah says lo tochlu dam, right, lo tochlu dam, whatever, the point is it doesn't, there isn't an object that is an entity called dam. There's a substance called dam, which the Torah is saying I can't eat, but I'm saying, but how much is a dam? There is no such thing. What object is the dam? You know what I'm saying? As opposed to Giranash is a defined object. The Namala is a defined object. You know what I'm saying? You'll see, it'll make more sense as we go on, I think. Give me just a minute or two. I want to, okay? It has to be Shalem. Because once it's not the whole object, it's not the Iser anymore. Right? It's a piece of the Iser. And it's Aser, but it's not the Iser itself. Now watch how beautiful this is. Ready? Everyone wants to really focus. So focus the next 2 minutes. Watch, you see, it's very beautiful. So, I don't know about you, but for a very long time, I always learned, I was always taught, and I always, you know, assumed that it goes something like this. The norm, the standard, the rule is that you get malkot on eating a kazayit of Iser. There's an exception. The exception is that Beria substitutes for Kazayit, right? In other words, even though there's no Kazayit, and really the rule is you need Kazayit, but there's an exception that if I have a Beria, if I have a whole Nimalai, a whole Ginanasha, I have a whole whatever, so I'm Chaya for that, I get Malka for that. According to these Rishonim, I think that's what's true L'chorah. But in fact, if we understand it, the exact opposite is true. Why? Because what's the pshat? The pshat is that really, the real halacha, so to speak,
or to put it differently, the rule is that what are you chayav on? When you get malka? When you ate? Not kazayit. The opposite. The Easter is, the lav is, you get malka when you do what? When you eat the Easter. Right? When you violate the Easter, that's when you get malka. When I eat, what is what the Easter is? So if I eat a nimala, did I eat the Easter?
Yes.
Certainly. If I ate a giranasha, did I eat the Easter? Yes. If I ate dam, did I eat the Easter?
No.
So at what point did I eat? Did I eat dam, right? When I took a drop? When I took an ounce? When I took a gallon? At what point, right? At what point? Where, when? What is the object of dam? So along comes the Torah and says, there's an artificial, so to speak, definition of the object that transforms it from just being a substance of dam to the dam, to the object of dam that the Torah asks. And that's called a shir. That's kezayit, right? But kezayit is the secondary halacha, not the primary one. The primary halacha is what? Is the beria. Because when the Torah says, don't eat a nimala, and I eat a nimala, it's clear, barur, that I did the Easter and I get the malka. The chiddush is that if I eat dam, right, at what point do I eat the dam? So the Torah says, if I don't have a local definition, I have this kind of global definition that it's that just that's eating kazayit. The same for chaylev, the same for whatever it is. So a kazayit of chaylev is considered like an object of chaylev. A kazayit of dam is considered like an object of that, you know, whatever the case may be. You understand what I'm saying? But that's the secondary halacha. And that, I think, explains so beautifully the Ra'ah and all these other Rishonim, and through the Taz, by saying, I think, even better than the Taz, at least according to these Rishonim. Why is it that it's not Batel? Because what does it mean for something to be Batel? It means that it loses its identity and takes on the identity of the Rov. So if I have something where the Esor is incidental to it, if where it's just a property that it has, you understand what I mean by an accent? Like, in other words, you understand what I'm saying? Like, in other words, it's like, you know, it happens to be Aser at the moment. Okay, Beseder. So if something is Aser, so it can change identity based on taking on, it can be overwhelmed by the majority, takes on the identity of the majority, becomes Batel Barov, it's, you know, it loses identity, Me'otzim Yutu, as the Rambam says, okay, Beseder. So that's already, that's it takes on a new identity. But if it's a Nemala, or Giranasha, and the thing is the Isur, it doesn't make sense for it to lose its identity. Because its identity and its and the Isur, it doesn't make sense for it to lose its Isur, because the Isur and the identity are one and the same. A Nimala is the Isur. So I can say you have a kosher Nimala. It doesn't make any sense. You see what I'm saying? To have a substance that was Isur, now because, okay, the Seder, it takes on the identity of the rest of the thing. But if I have the object itself, you have a kosher Giranasha. What does it mean, kosher ginanasha? Right? This is by definition. That's what the Torah says. It's asr. Yeah.
Okay, so I have two questions.
Yeah.
If you have less than a kazayat of blood, then it would not be an asr?
It would not be the isr. Meaning, there's a concept of chatzi shir. That if you eat less than the shir, it's still asr. Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether it's a daraita or a rabban. It's an isr. There's a whole discussion of Rishonim and Achronim and Chule,
okay,
as to whether that's the same Easter, whether it's a generic Easter, whether Erechaz, it's stupid, the whole stuff.
Okay.
But the point is that, but it's not the same thing as the Kazayin. The Kazayin is in terms of Malkot, you know, and that's the real thing. And that's really, if you look at the Rush, that's really what the Rush says. The Rush says that this is really the issue. Again, I'm not going to read the Russian side. You can read it at your leisure. Tulsa Rush on Fulin, I think, really points in this direction as well. Okay, yes.
And my second question is isn't liquid, a.k.a. dam, measured in ravids? So
yeah, I'm not getting to the technicalities of how you convert into, but I'm simply saying that, you're right, again, I'm not, my head's not there at all in terms of the fine points of what measure, I'm saying, but whatever measurement you need for the particular Easter, right, what you have.
Can we connect it if it's
1,000%. Yeah, 1,000%. It's the same thing. So the point is that you have a generic definition of, you know, of a volume that is the artificial shear that makes it the object of the Easter, right, as opposed to berry, which is the real thing. Yeah.
So since Beria, the object is the Iser, that's why if you take the Beria out of something, like the Tom and whatever it is that's left behind from whatever the Beria was, it doesn't really matter
because the point is that, yeah, the Beria is only the object itself. Beria is not the Tom.
So it's not like
the Tom is not a barrier.
You just take it out.
The Tom is Iser, but it's not the barrier. It's not the barrier.
Oh, so that it's okay.
The Tom is Iser. You have to deal with it. It has to be it has to be batal, etc. It depends
the
on
the Tom can be batal.
The Tom can be batal, right? It's only the barrier itself that's not batal. Okay, we're good. And this pshat Tosa and the Rashba. Okay, 10 psukim. Ready? Back to 10 psukim. You thought I forgot about the 10 psukim. I have not forgotten. I believe that the Rashba. And other Rishonim hold said the Rashba and Tosfot, A, are totally different. Totally different. Can we read it carefully and see? We'll see. It's totally different. Listen carefully. Let's go back. Megillah, first side. Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph. Ein pochtim asar psukim bebeit haknesset. Vim toma vare, I'm reading Tosfot first. Vare parshat amalek, delekala tisha psukim. So, how are you also with 9 psukim? You need 10 psukim. Yeshlomar Tishani Parashat Amalek Tisidra Diyomahu Umatsikin Yanimbe Umishim Hachi Ein Lachush. It says Tosfot that what? What's it say? Ein Lachush. Okay, I don't need to be concerned about the fact that there are not 10 psukim. Let's go over to the Rashba. Says Rashba in Pokem Masar Psukim etc. Vim Tomar Va'ika Parsha Amalek Deleka Elatisha Va'ika B'Mamadot etc. So what's the answer? Ika Lameima. Okay, Ika Lameima. One could say the following: Dishani Hatim Desalik Inyana V'Hayisid Sidro Shoyam
V'Lochazu V'Lochazu.
What does V'Lochazu mean?
Didn't see.
Literally, I mean, it's like Eino Ra'oi in Hebrew, right? It's not fit. It's not appropriate. V'lo chazu, listen carefully to what he says. V'lo chazu lemikre shelo b'sidro shayom mashlume lebe'asara. You know what the Rashba says and what the Tosa says? Mamash day and night. I'll show you how day and night is in a second. Okay? I'll show you even more than that. That's Rashba.
Can you explain what the Rashba is saying?
Yes. The Rashba, I haven't explained anything yet. It's saying like this. Rashba is saying that there are two issues. One issue is that you need 10 psukim. And another issue is that I need that it doesn't make sense to go out of, right? It doesn't make sense to read more when it's Salik and Yana. When there's a topic of the day and I finish a topic, it makes sense. I read about Amalek for 9 psukim, it's Purim, and I'm going to go on to the next topic. It has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't make sense, right? So I have a conflict, I have a clash between these two issues. Which one takes priority? Is it more important to read 10 psukim? Or is it more important to not read something extraneous that doesn't have anything to do with anything? It's going to be silly that I'm reading that 10th pasuk. Which is the priority? Which is the overriding consideration? What?
So number two, right? Everyone agree with that? Okay, that's what the Rashba says. Now, what does Tosfot say? Now that we've done Beria, we understand Tosfot perfectly. Especially you put in the Maharal, right? It's beautiful.
It says the Maharal, what does it mean, 10 psukim? Why 10 psukim? Because the number 10, we all understand that the number 10 represents individual components that are all one whole, right? Right? Correct? In other words, you have the ones place, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, you get to 9, and then all of a sudden, those individual units, right, suddenly turn into one thing, into a 10. Correct? That's how it works in the base 10 system. The same thing we find all over the place in Torah. For example, Asar Ma'amarot, right? We have a lot of different aspects to creation, but they're all part of one whole. There's one system that encompasses, one set of laws of physics that encompasses all of creation. In all its enormity, and there are all different aspects to it, there is Asar Ma'amarot, but it's all one thing. And that's why it's 10. And the same thing is true of the Aseret HaDibrot. We have a lot of different Dibrot, but they're all part of one idea of Torah. We have, and one could add much to that, but I'll suffice for the moment. The same thing is true of, with examples, right? the idea of a minyan, right? You have 10 individuals and it become a tzibor. That's the concept of 10 of being said. Therefore, watch Tosa. Beautiful. Tosa is like this. Tosa is just like the idea of Beria. Can everyone see it? Tzman is just like Beria. We thought, and it's true according to some Rishonim, we thought that the primary halakha is what? That how many psukim do you need?
10.
But if salik in yana, so then we can, you know, then it's overridden or whatever, right? And that's indeed what the Rashba says, for example, right? That really we are concerned about having 10 psukim. But if it's sidra d'yom, salik in yana, we're not going to go outside of the parsha to read another pasuk, right? Tosva turns it on its head. Tosva reverses the entire thing. And what does Tosva say? Tosva says something beautiful. Not that it's inappropriate to read outside of the inyan. It's not what Tosva says. It's what Rashba says. Not what Tosva says. Tosva doesn't say it's an overriding consideration. What does Tosva say? The in lachush. There's no problem. There's no issue here. Why is there no issue? Because the original takana of Chazal is not to read 10 psukim at all. The point is not to read 10 psukim. What's the point? We know how many number. How many psukim do you really have to read? We know. It says Tosa, really you have to read 3 times 3, which equals 9. But there's another criteria. What's the other criteria? It doesn't make sense to say you have to read 3 times. I mean, it makes sense, but Tosa says, right? We read 3 times 3 equals 10. What does that mean? No. Tosa says that's not the pshat. You have to read 3 aliyot. Each aliyah has to have 3 psukim. In addition to that, you have to read a full section. You have to read a whole parsha, right? I mean, a parsha like, you know, all parshat Mishpatim or Truma. You have to read a whole section, right? You have to have a whole portion. It has to be something shalem. So says Tosa, a beautiful pshat, says, if I have parshat Amalek and I have a full unit, and it has 3 aliyot of 3 psukim each, and it's a full topic, and I finish the topic, is there any reason to read a 10th pasuk? You understand what Tosa is saying? But if, let's say, I have a parsha where the topic goes on for 43 psukim, right? Topic goes on for 43 psukim, I'm going to read the whole topic. And it's Monday morning, and I'm the Baal Kori, I'm going to read 43 psukim, they're going to hang me. Right? Everyone's rushed, they have to get that 6:40 bus, they don't have time for 43 psukim. So what Chazal say? If the section is too long, and you need to read, it's, you're talking about Mincha Shabbos, we're rushing to get back for Shabbos Shunas, we're talking about Monday morning, Thursday morning, you have to get out to get to work. So we have a very short kriya, and you're not allowed to have hosafa, and you can't add a leo, and you can't have avtar, and you can't, right? So what do? We say, if the inyan is nice and short, gevaldik. If it's 9 psukim, very nice. We're done. You don't need anything more. That's the primary idea. That's the whole point. You need to have a section. But what if the section is just too long? So what do? Chazal said, we'll say that 10 psukim, because of the concept of the number 10, the Gemara gives a whole bunch of precedents for this, that the number 10 represents a totality of individual components. So once you have 10 psukim, that's already considered to be on an artificial level, right? In an armchair, that's already a parsha, it's already a section. And it's already a section, then I'm going to say with that. So Tosfot says, on Purim morning when I have 9 psukim, it's not that, well, we'll make do without 10 psukim. It's not that, well, you can't go into the next inyan because it's ludicrous. It's not because, well, we have to decide whether to accommodate this principle, that. No, says Tosfot, in lachosh, there's no problem. What's the issue? It's a full inyan. Salik inyan, so you're all good. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing as Beria. You understand why it's the same thing as Beria? Everyone understands why it's the same thing as Beria conceptually? Right? That L'cha'ora, we think that the ideal is the Kazayit, and like various kind of exceptions to the rule. We think the 10 psukim are the real thing, and then, you know, we make do with the parasha. L'hefech, the natural unit, is either the Beria or the Salkinyana. But where you don't have that, so Chazal gave a shear, and the point of the shear, the measurement, the number, the quantity, takes the place of a natural unit. Okay, yes. We're not quite done, but we're almost done. Yes.
Okay, Okay, I'm just trying to understand, like, just because, like, Tosfot says in lachush, meaning, like, you don't need to worry, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how do we know that the thought process goes behind it? Just because, how do we know that Tosfot doesn't go through the same thought process as Rashba? He just doesn't explain it. He's saying, really, like, there does need to be ten sukkim because there's sidra dioma. But don't worry, it's like in lachush, like, you don't have to worry about it. Like, how do we know that he didn't go through the same thought process and ended with the same conclusion as the Rashba, just omitted the thought process?
Okay, so I don't think the point is that he omitted. I think that in lachush simply means something different than below chaz. In other words, chaz means that it would be wrong, it would be inappropriate, it would be, you know, to read more than nine. Okay? Tosa is saying that because it's salting yana, you don't need to read more than nine. You don't need to, and it would be wrong to, it would be inappropriate to, or simply have a different meaning. You know what I'm saying?
Tosa,
what I'm saying is like this. Rashba says, It would be inappropriate. It would be wrong. It would be, you know, be kind of silly. You know, it would doesn't make sense to read to stick on a tenth pasuk that's unconnected. Okay, but I don't think that fits. At least, you know, I mean, if I had no alternative whatsoever, but I mean, I don't think that's the most obvious explanation of the Elachosh. Elachosh is saying that there's not a problem. Not saying that it's, you know, like, there's a reason not to do it. It's saying that there isn't a need to do it. I think it's actually a big difference between saying there isn't a need to do it and saying there's a reason, an overriding consideration why I don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I agree with you that it's very subtle. It's certainly easy to miss. One could argue that maybe think that that's not Pshat in the Rashba and Tulsa, but say that entitled to nothing else Pshat. I'm saying, but do you understand why I'm suggesting this? I think that there is a subtle but important difference between the way that they express it, and that it reflects a very different idea. Yeah. Okay. I want to go just a step further. If this is correct, if everything said so far is correct, it was actually something very interesting. Rashi, does Rashi hold from the idea of 10 psukim?
Yeah.
Does Rashi hold from the idea that Sidra, Diyoma, or Inyana, you know, Salik Inyana is a consideration? Does he hold this consideration? I think he does.
Yes, but it's second.
I think he does. Because, why, how do you see that he holds from it? Because he says that if you're going to read 12 psukim, when do you read 12 psukim? Only if yesh rivuach b'parsha. So I think you see he does hold from the second thing. Elamai, so, you know what he's saying?
Secondary.
Meaning that where there's a conflict between the two, Rashi says that issue number one takes precedence over issue number two. And Tosa says, Rashba says that number two takes precedence over number one. Okay? What does Tosot say? Does Tosot hold that there is innately an idea of 10 psukim? So there's innately an idea of 10 psukim?
No, there's really only
an idea of salkinyana. But if there's no salkinyana, then you can substitute right with the 10 psukim. Mm-hmm. But that is not a real chiyuv of 10 psukim per se. So now, if I were to ask you, conceptually, which shitot belong together of these three, of Rashi, Rashba, and Tosa, which three shitot belong together? Right? So I would say that, I would agree with Tikva, that, right, that Rashi and the Rashba basically say the same thing. There's an issue of ten psukim, a chi of ten psukim, and there's a second issue, which is Salkinyana. It's just a question of which one is you know, beats out the other. But basically, they're saying the same thing. And Tosfot is a whole different sheet entirely. Which is, of course, the opposite of what we said before, which is that Rashi is a unique sheet, and Tosfot and Rashba go together. You want to see that? So I just want to conclude this topic
move on to something totally different. I want to conclude by saying the following. This is a very, very common thing in learning. That very often, and Chazal even have words, you know, an expression for it, Hilchot Tavolah Mitaimei, and things of that nature, that very often we have a situation where you have, let's say, I'm just going to give the simplest form, it could be more complex than this, but you have three shitot, right, three shonim, and on the surface, when you look at just the halacha that they're discussing, right, just the particular halacha they're discussing, these two are the same, and this one is, you know, a totally separate shita. And then you look more deeply beneath the surface at the svaras and what's behind them, how they understand the whole issue, and it turns out that everything changes, right? And it shifts, and it's instead of being two and one, it's one and two, right? It totally shifts. And that's a very common thing. Nowadays we have these beautiful editions of, you know, scientific editions of Rishonim, where you have, you know, Rishon and nice print and everything on the bottom, and you have footnotes, and very often the footnotes will tell you, you know, so you're doing the Ritva, say, the Ritva will say something, and then in the footnote will say, you know, V'chein, 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 you know, the same idea you found in this Rishon, that Rishon, that Rishon, that Rishon, and very often, it's not really the same. You have to be very careful. Very often, on the surface, if you're lucky, if they didn't, you know, if it's not totally wrong, on the surface, it may appear to be the same. And sometimes it is the same, but sometimes it's also not. And sometimes what appears to be, you know, l'chora one way, really very much is the other way. And I think we see a number of times here. It's hopefully a case study in examining sources very, very carefully. Chazal, Rishonim, you know, you have to go through very, very carefully. Be very careful. Rashi, it's very easy to miss the fact that Rashi has a shita here at all. Once you realize that Rashi has a shita, you have to realize that Tosfos and Rashba are not necessarily saying the same thing. Once you realize Rashi, you know what they're saying, why they're saying it, and then you begin to think about it and realize that things aren't necessarily at all how they appear. And Beria and Kazai, it may have the opposite relationship that we thought at first glance, perhaps, at least according to some Rishon. The relationship between the ten psukim quota and the sidra the yoma, the inyan the yoma, and salak inyana may be exactly reversed. Okay, and that's part of the point of learning, is that you get to clarify things and get to see that things aren't always as they appear on the surface. But in any case, hopefully you understand now why I put together what seems to be a little bit unrelated issues of eating ants and kriya satora, but. You get a little bit beneath the surface, they really are very much interconnected. Okay, so we're going to move.